Lilu Bunny walked hand in hand through the caverns with her mother, Tater. Neither carried a torch because it wasn't dark in the narrow passage. Their winding path was lit by 100-foot-high bright tentacles in orange, pink, red, and yellow. The rock walls and ceilings had turned transparent. All Lilu could see were the filaments, and she could see them twisting all the way up to the summit, like the root ball of some enormous plant with the dirt knocked loose. The tendrils blurred and shifted and became candy trees and popcorn bushes.
Please don't leave me again, Mom.
But I never left you, girl.
I couldn't see you. We weren't together. I was lonely.
We will always be together now.
And Dean?
You like him, don't you?
Uh-huh.
He's your Prince Charming.
He's wonderful. He's brave and smart. I don't want to lose him. Can he come with us, please?
He'll be with us, too. When you get released and he gets released, we'll all be together.
Lilu understood without being told that released meant being freed from her body.
But what happens then?
Tater Bunny put a hand on her daughter's head. Lilu beamed up at her adoringly.
You will climb like a cloud of smoke, straight up into the sky. You will be everywhere at once, flying.
Like a bird?
Much better than a bird. Faster, freer. There'll be no wind you can't fly through. No height you can't soar to. No place you can't go by just thinking about it.
You can do all those things?
I can, and so will you.
Will I have to wait long?
No, my darling, not long at all.
And will I always be safe?
Always.
Lilu reached up and with her wooden tool pried free a huge lollipop, a flat disc of candy much bigger than her face. It was red and green and white, the colors swirling in a pinwheel shape. She closed her eyes tightly and touched it with the tip of her tongue.
Oh, it's peppermint!
The girl eagerly licked the scratchy gray skin of the nodule, its clear sap sheeting off her tiny chin. Jack sensed that he was being stalked by something big. He advanced alone through the dark cave. His torch dwindled away 15 feet ahead and 15 feet behind him. Deep inside the mountain, there were no openings to the sky to let in light or air. The farther and deeper he went, the warmer it became. The cave he'd picked to follow angled down into the earth. The water that trickled over the cave floor ran in the direction he was headed. He paused to listen for his pursuer. Although his hearing was very sharp, it picked up no scrape of boot on rock, no rustle of dirt as a body brushed a wall. There was only the steady hiss of the burning torch in his hand and the babbling brook sound of the water flowing around his boots. Lauren pressed on, looking for dinner. What he'd been given at the burn barrel was some of the best roast pork he'd ever eaten. He was looking forward to stuffing himself with more. After he'd traveled perhaps 10 yards, the sensation of being followed returned, tingling at the back of his neck and across his shoulders. It didn't make him nervous at all. It made him curious. He adjusted the ride of the cold python in its holster. When he found a likely-looking tendril, he dropped the torch and started prying on it with the wooden tool. It didn't take him long to break the thing free. As he plucked the ripe nodule, he knew that someone or something was watching from behind. He put the nodule on the floor and picked up the torch. Holding the flame out in front of him, he took several steps toward it.
Who there?
There was no answer. Then he saw something shift. It was big, the same size as the lion. As he advanced, it retreated out of the torchlight's reach.
Lion? That you?
Of course it's me, Jack.
You said couldn't come. Said knew how it ended and you not part of it.
I just wanted to surprise you. Are you surprised, Jack?
Yeah, guess so. You help me fight?
Fight whom?
Connie Chillers?
There's nothing and no one to fight. Not anymore. You've got to get your mind around that, Jack. You've got to put the lid down on your killer instinct. It will only get in the way from here on out.
How?
This isn't the Deathlands. This is the border of someplace else. Someplace far better. If you want to cross over, you've got to stand in the snowstorm and eat your bounty.
Why won't go someplace else?
So that you can see Christina again.
Dave.
There's no such thing. I've tried to explain that to you many times before. You don't listen.
Listen? Don't understand.
Life as you know it doesn't exist. Life as you know it is an illusion. You must shed the scales over your eyes. You must know the truth. You must see the other side. I can help you. Come closer to me.
No. Jake's hand automatically reached for the python, but it wasn't there. His fingers dipped under his shirt. The leaf-bladed knives were gone, too. Jack felt a shiver of fear, but he'd never feared the lion before.
Come to me, Jack.
Jack's legs began to move, stiffly. He couldn't stop them. As he approached the bend in the cave, he could see that the details of the shape were all wrong. The ears were long and stiff and pointed. The eyes were small and luminous green. The skin was hairless, as was the tail. A pair of leathery wings lay folded along the jutting knobs of the spine.
Not lion. Enemy.
No, I am the victor.
With great effort, Jack managed to retreat a step, then two. Then he turned and ran.
Don't forget your bounty, Jack.